What is a miracle? Miracle. M-I-R-A-C-L-E. This is the definition in my Oxford Learner's Dictionary. An act or event that does not follow the laws of nature and is believed to be caused by God. A miracle. This is a story about a miracle, and it's a B1 story, B1 level English. Lots and lots of good B1 words in there, B1 or below. There are some words in the story which are not B1, which are B2, and I'll explain those. Miracle is one of them. That is not a B1 word, in fact. And I'm also going to explain some language which comes in there, which is about calculating, making calculations. For example, addition, subtraction, multiplication. Very useful words which we need to explain some type of calculations, for example. So here we go. Hello and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbrough and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels. And if you are a B1 level student trying to reach B2 level, then I recommend my book, The Tudor Conspiracy. Come over to practicingenglish.com and you'll see a picture of the front cover. Click on that and it will take you to the page where you can buy the book. Okay, as I said in the introduction, I'm going to explain some calculation words. The first one is plus, P-L-U-S. So, for example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Equals, the same as. So we say plus, usually, 2 plus 2. And then, obviously, the opposite is when you take something away. 4 minus 1 equals 3. 4 minus, M-I-N-U-S. 4 minus 1 equals 3. Or 4 take away 1 equals 3. And then another one is divided by. So 4 divided by 2 equals 2. The podcast is about multiplying. Multiplying. So in the podcast, there are some quite complicated calculations. Multiplication. So we say then, 2 multiplied by 2 equals 4. You can just say by. 2 by 2 equals 4. In fact, what we're multiplying and calculating in part of the story is volume. So we're talking about liters or milliliters or cubic meters. So cubic is the three dimensions of a cube. So a cube, for example, which measures 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters equals 1,000 centimeters cubed or cubic centimeters. And that is the same as 1 liter. 1 liter. I don't want to get too boring with this, but there is a calculation in there which you'll need the language to understand it. Now, let's just talk about that volume again. So we'll go back to our liter, which is 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters. And the three dimensions are long, 10 centimetres long, L-O-N-G, by 10 centimetres wide, W-I-D-E, and 10 centimetres deep, D-E-E-P. And those are the adjectives, and the nouns are long, length, wide, width, and deep, depth. So they end in these TH letters, TH. Length, width, and depth. Okay, so I think that's probably enough, actually. We've got numbers, hundreds, okay, 100, 1,000, which is 10 by 100, and 1,000,000, which is 1,000,000 in British English. 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. So we talk about those measures in this story. Right, okay, all I need to do now is just to let you know about those words which are not B1. For example, the miracle that I spoke of in the introduction, an act, an event that does not follow the laws of nature. And then I also have a villa, V-I-L-L-A. Now, this is the name given, especially in places like Spain, to holiday homes for people abroad. So really, it's just a house. They may have a swimming pool there, a garden, and even a wall around the house. So it's usually something quite spectacular. And that is called a villa. You find a lot of villas on the Costa del Sol, which is the southern part of Spain, or the southern part of Andalusia, which is the region. And a lot of holidaymakers from Britain go to the Costa del Sol to spend the summer, or even to retire and live there. And they often live together, especially the British, in what we call residential estates. A residential estate. And that is a group of houses together. Perhaps they might even share a swimming pool, or they might be separate villas. And there will be probably lots of security there, and they're very safe. It's all got lots of nice trees and green, and it all looks very lovely. Another word here, which is not B2, but it appeared in my last podcast about climate change, which is drought, D-R-O-U-G-H-T, which is when there is no water in the land, and therefore there is a problem of no drinking water, the crops don't grow, and, well, what this climate change is bringing about at the moment, a lot of drought in especially dry countries, for example, like Spain, where I live. Okay, so I'm going to start the story. I'm just reading the first half of this story, the first part, part one. And next week, okay, so next Sunday, I will read the second part, part two of this story. So here we go. The story is called Who Was Sidney Peabody? Who was Sidney Peabody? A B1 story written by M.A. Bilborough. This recording is copyright. My name is Simon Fotheringay, and as you know, I've run the local weekly newspaper, the Sunshine Times, on the Costa del Sol, in the south of Spain, for 5 years now. We have always given our readers the latest and most interesting news about the area. But this week, I'm personally writing this article because I believe people need to know the truth about events that happened last April in Ben Al Madina, and only I know the truth. My article is about the man who lives next door to me, and somebody you all know. His name is Sidney Peabody. I believe this man performed a miracle, and that I'm the only person alive who really saw what happened, because I was there. Here is the story. First of all, I have to say that Sidney Peabody isn't really the sort of person you'd expect to work miracles. He worked since he was a boy in a car factory in Chelton, Bedfordshire. He didn't get far in his profession either. He was never promoted or anything. He started in the factory when he was a boy, and when he retired at 65, he was still in the factory. Not really a spectacular career, was it? Sidney Peabody doesn't look particularly special. Just the opposite, he definitely isn't a handsome man. He is medium height, medium everything, really. However, there is one thing about him that's interesting and, I suppose, attractive. His smile. Perhaps what I mean is, he always has a smile on his face. He never stops smiling. As we live next to each other, Sidney and I often chat together over the gate that separates our two gardens. This is what he told me. It all happened when he was a boy. A bee stung him on the cheek, which changed the shape of his face to a permanent smile. Sidney liked to tell the story to friends of when, one day in secondary school, he and a group of boys from his class were caught putting glue on the teacher's chair. While the headmaster was telling them how they were going to be punished, Sidney just looked at him and smiled.
"Why are you smiling, boy? Do you think it's funny?" said the headmaster.
"No, sir," said Sidney, smiling.
"So why are you smiling?"
A classmate interrupted.
"He always smiles, sir. It's his face. He can't stop smiling."
"I see," said the headmaster. "Well, make sure I never see you looking serious."
He never did. Sidney got married to Gertrude when he was still quite a young man. Gertrude was a lively, blonde-haired woman and a secretary, or what she called a personal assistant, PA, which sounds a lot more interesting than a secretary. Gertrude spent most of her marriage telling her colleagues at work all the bad things Sidney did. What a grey little man he was. Why she ever married him, she said she didn't know. It was probably because of his smile. And now she was tired of it. She told jokes about him at work, like the funny way he ate all bran at the breakfast table, and how he smiled at her mother's funeral. They had two children, who both grew up and went to work in the same car factory. But they did better than their father, because they became line managers. After the boys had left home, Gertrude saw her chance and left home too. She moved out quite suddenly one day and went to live with her boss, so she could be a more personal assistant. Despite his smile, Sidney was obviously not a very happy man. The one good thing about having worked all your life is that you can save a large amount of money. After his retirement, Sidney Peabody sold his house in Chelton and went to live abroad in this small holiday resort on the Costa del Sol. I suppose that was the most exciting decision he had ever taken in all his life. Except that it wasn't a particularly spectacular decision, because he bought a villa in a residential estate where a large number of other British people lived too, such as myself. A home from home, as they say. It was the first spring after he arrived in Benalmádena when he performed his miracle. I mean, I believe it was a miracle, but I think I might be the only one who thinks that now. In fact, that's why I'm writing this. People used to think it was a miracle, but nobody does anymore. Anyway, there is a huge problem of drought due to climate change, as everybody knows. And the problem is obviously only going to get worse. However, I suppose Sydney isn't really worried about climate change and drought, as long as it doesn't affect him. Then, when the Benalmádena Town Hall made a public announcement that the local population couldn't fill their swimming pools anymore, Sydney began to pay attention at last. Well, that's the way I believe things happened. This part of the story really started one day when Sydney and I were walking along the Benalmádena beach early on a very warm morning in April. It was a Sunday, I remember, and I think that's important. The sky was a deep blue, as always, despite the old saying, April showers bring May flowers. There were other people on the beach too, some of them walking their dogs. Sydney was telling me that he was really worried about his empty swimming pool. He said he needed to have his daily swim when the weather got warm. Then without saying another word, he stopped, looked up at the sky and lifted up his arms and shouted, I wish it would rain. Then it happened. A little dark grey cloud suddenly appeared exactly in the part of the sky where Sydney was looking. It was such a strange thing that other people walking on the beach also noticed it and stopped to watch. The little grey cloud became bigger and darker. I watched and couldn't believe my eyes. Sydney kept his arms raised up into the air. The other people on the beach looked from Sydney to the sky and then back to Sydney and realised this was happening because Sydney was making it happen. The cloud just kept on growing, and in a few minutes the whole sky was dark and black and the bright sunshine had completely disappeared. I suppose it was quite scary, really. Sydney kept his arms in the air and looked up with his smile across his face, bigger than usual. Then it started to rain. It was light rain at first, but in just a few minutes, heavy rain began to pour down from the sky. All the people on the beach ran to get out of the rain. Now, this piece of information is important. I remember it started to rain at 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's go, Sydney, I shouted. We're going to get very wet. So Sydney put his arms down and waited to see what would happen. It kept on raining, and we both ran to get off the beach. When we arrived back home, it was still raining hard. I went into my villa and Sydney went into his. But when I looked out of the back window, I saw Sydney outside in his garden under the pouring rain. He was looking into his swimming pool, which was beginning to fill up. Now, the following information might seem unnecessary and even rather boring, but as the reader will see, it's extremely important to help me prove that this was a miracle. So, I'll start with my explanation. 1 litre is a container of 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres. So, there are 1,000 cubic centimetres in a litre. If you want to know that in millilitres, you have to multiply those numbers by 10. So you get 100 by 100 by 100, which makes 1,000,000 cubic millilitres. I always think that's incredible that in the space of one cube, where the sides are just 10 centimetres, you have 1,000,000 millilitres inside. Anyway, when they say that 1 millimetre of rain will fall, that means a square metre will fill up to just 1 millimetre high, which is the same as 1 litre. Now, Sydney's pool was 15 metres long by 10 metres wide and 2 metres deep. I know that because I asked him and he told me. So we can say that 15, the length, multiplied by 10, the width, equals 150. Then multiplied by 2, the depth, equals 300 cubic metres. In 1 cubic metre, there are 1,000 litres. So 1,000 by 300 equals 300,000 litres. That's a lot of water. When talking about the amount of rain that falls, we also say how quickly it falls. We say light rain if about 2.5 millimetres fall, or 2.5 litres in 1 hour. We say heavy rain when more than 7.5 millimetres fall, and violent rain when more than 50 millimetres fall, or 50 litres in 1 hour. Of course, very heavy rain or violent rain can mean a lot of damage to towns, roads, flooding in houses and fields. It can destroy crops, fruit trees, vegetables and cereals. We need rain, but everybody prefers rain when it isn't very heavy. The rain that fell on that Sunday when Sydney performed his miracle was heavy rain, but not very heavy. About 14 millimetres per hour. So there was no damage to roads and crops. It fell on all of the town of Ben Almadena and the fields around as far as Malaga, the nearest city, but no further. As Sydney's swimming pool was 2 metres deep, that is the same as 2,000 millimetres or 2,000 litres. So, 2,000 divided by 14, the number of litres that fell per hour, is 143. In fact, it took just a little longer than that, 144 hours. Therefore, it took 144 hours to fill, which is exactly 6 days. 6 days later, when Sydney's pool was full, it stopped raining. 6 days. It stopped raining exactly 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Everybody was talking about it. It was a miracle, they said. Reporters from the different newspapers and television stations came to interview Sydney. The Sunshine Times and other newspapers published an article about the event. Photos of Sydney's wonderful smile were shown in all the online news websites. The headline said, "Is this the smile of a saint?" And, "The smile of the man who performed a miracle." And, "Smiling Sydney stops the drought." The Sunshine Times article explained how the average annual amount of rain in Ben El Madina was 485 millimetres. Thanks to Sydney's miracle, 2,000 millimetres fell in less than a week. The rivers and lakes were now full and the drought was over. In Ben El Madina, meanwhile, in the rest of Spain, there was still a serious drought. It was a strange thing, but that week it hadn't rained one drop in all of Spain, only in Ben El Madina. The weather forecast had predicted dry, sunny days in Ben El Madina all that week. Instead, four times the average annual rain fell in 6 days. You see, a lot of people had seen Sydney raise his hands to the sky and start the black cloud growing and growing. Suddenly, Sydney was special. Sydney was famous. Sydney was a celebrity. Of course, the next thing people wanted to know was why couldn't Sydney go to another part of Spain and make it rain there too? Then perhaps he could travel to Africa and other places where there was serious drought. Sydney and his smile could save the planet from climate change. Sydney isn't a man to argue. When the mayor of Madrid asked Sydney to come and perform his miracle, he said yes, as long as they paid for the transport and hotel. I went with Sydney too. There was a big story there, of course, but he believes me to be a friend, so he let me go with him. I remember sitting on the train to Madrid with him. I asked him how he had performed the miracle in Ben El Madina. Sydney said he didn't know. He just remembered being really worried about his swimming pool. I wanted to ask him if he thought he could repeat the miracle in Madrid. However, Sydney didn't want to talk about it, so we discussed our gardens, and Sydney told me that now there was more water in Ben El Madina, he wanted to plant some potatoes. When we arrived at the railway station in Madrid, there was a limousine waiting for him. Sydney said I could come too. We were driven to the park right in the middle of the city, the park called El Retiro. There were thousands of people waiting to see Sydney and to watch him perform his miracle. It was a hot, dry day for April, with a blue sky, but lots of people had brought umbrellas. As he got out of the car, he waved to the people and smiled. I mean, he just looked the way he always did. The mayor and some other important people from the Madrid town hall were there to greet us. A band played some music, and the people clapped and shouted. The mayor made a speech in English about the great good that some people could do. There were television cameras everywhere. He said that Sydney Peabody had been born to rescue our planet from the terrible effects of climate change. Thanks to Sydney, we should see lakes full of water again, rivers and streams that had dried up, full and flowing strongly once more. Snow on our mountain tops, the return of green fields and successful crops to feed our hungry world. Then everybody went quiet and looked at Sydney, waiting for him to perform another wonderful miracle. People put up their umbrellas. Sydney lifted his arms, as he had done on the beach at Ben Almadena, and he repeated the same words.
I wish it would rain.
Okay, so that's the end of part one of Who Was Sydney Peabody? Tune in next Sunday to hear part two and the final part of Who Was Sydney Peabody of this story. Goodbye for now.